Oh, if little kids ruled the world.
Everybody, I know you can believe in yourself.
I am responsible, honest, dedicated, trustworthy, and creative.
If you believe in yourself, you will know how to ride a bike.
Tonight, boys, that's what you earned here tonight.
I enjoy helping others and seeing them achieve their goals.
If we play them 10 times, they might win 9.
If you don't, you just keep practicing.
One can actually dare to dream such a thing when you hear the innocent voices of kids standing up and taking responsibility there, dwarfed by the podium on stage, but seemingly undaunted by all the challenges ahead in their young lives. Those are some YouTube kids, but their voices may have some of the same impact as pictures, like the simple faces of Brandon Stanton's Little Humans, a book which is out this week. Pictures of young kids facing the camera, full of hope and promise. One of Stanton's books of photographs playing off the popularity of his photo blog, Humans of New York, which itself became a best-selling book last year. Brandon Stanton, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you, John.
So, kids, say it all, right? You don't have to say anything, but wow, there's that face. I mean, I was leafing through your book, and it's just every page is hope.
Thank you. The photos are, you know, have been gathered on over the last 4 years on the streets of New York, just in the process approaching over 10,000 strangers for the blog. And like you said, I'd say, you know, my two favorite types of people to interview, I think, are very older people and very young people, because, you know, they speak from two opposite perspectives that are, you know, no less authentic. Kids tend to speak from a very, you know, innocent perspective, and older people tend to speak from a very experienced perspective. And I think you get very interesting answers coming from both sides of that.
But the faces are amazing. I mean, the kids have, you know, all this future on their faces, and it's unknown question marks. Oh, what's that one going to do?
Right, right.
Oh, I can imagine that one doing this, that, and the other thing. And then, of course, the older people, their lives are all there on their face.
Right, right, right.
No matter what it is, they've done. It's all there.
Yeah, and, especially the 37 that are included in the book are all very outsized personalities. You know, something about, you know, the what they were wearing or what they were doing kind of caught my attention on the street out of, you know, the thousands of people that I pass every week. Yeah.
In an age of selfies and everybody has a camera, why did you think this would work, that this would connect? It just seems like—
You sound like my parents.
Yeah, exactly.
I think The Power of Humans of New York, and for those of people who aren't aware of it, you know, I just kind of stop random strangers on the street and I ask them very intimate questions about their lives. And, you know, I think one of the reasons it's become so popular is that so much of social media is stage managed. You know, so much of media in itself is that, you know, there's the Facebook and Instagram are filled with pictures of people. So what is it about Humans of New York that stands out? It's that, you know, my goal is that in approaching a stranger on the street and having a very in the moment conversation with them, you know, the side of them that they reveal isn't this very carefully crafted image that we put out every day onto social media, but a perspective that might reveal some more vulnerability or authenticity that you don't necessarily find when people are controlling their own image on the internet.
So people with cell phone cameras are behaving like PR. PR managers of their self.
You know, we've become our own celebrities. You know, it gives everyone a chance to project, like you said, you know, what celebrities, so much of their every move and every introduction to the public is very carefully crafted. And social media has put the tools in our hands to do the very same things with our own lives. And so what you get is a highlight reel of everyone's life. And I guess, you know, one thing I seek to do with Humans of New York is kind of dig below that a little bit and get a moment of insecurity or a moment of vulnerability in a social media news feed where there's nothing but confidence and nothing but success. You know, it kind of stands out, I believe.
Does this work around the world? On this trip, for the United Nations, this is a real test.
Yeah. So I just got back from a 60-day trip around the world, 12 countries, including Iraq, South Sudan, Democratic Republic of Congo. And, you know, I think it's so funny. Everywhere I went, I would tell somebody where I was going next, and they'd be like, oh, you can't do that work there. That place is too dangerous. Or that place, the people there are very reserved, and they won't answer. And, you know, what I did find out is that you can stop strangers anywhere in the world and ask them very personal questions about their life. And if you're doing it from a place of genuine interest and authenticity, then people are very willing to talk and almost thankful for the opportunity to share about their lives. And you know the most amazing thing out of all the places I've been,
right.
Iraq, Iran, South Sudan, the one place I get rejected the most is New York. You know, I came back for the first day just 3 days ago and started photographing in New York again. And four people told me no in a row. Like, no, I don't want my picture taken. And I just realized that in the past 60 days of traveling to all these, you know, places around the world, some that are quote unquote hotspots, I had never had that kind of string of rejections.
Spoiled by openness. Yeah. Traveling the world, Brandon Stanton is the photographer for the photo blog Humans of New York. And the humans around the world that you describe being so open – I suspect they might have wanted to know who the heck you are. I mean, did people in Congo, for instance, try to ask, are you a reporter? You're with something.
Right.
This, how did they do that? Give me a story.
Well, I mean, Congo is – and it was the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Right.
I have to be careful about making that distinction. The places where there's more of a security state, the more questions that people have because there's a natural distrust of cameras. There's a natural disgust of people asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good example you pulled out because that was a place where, yes, people were very, very curious what I was doing. And maybe the kind of atmosphere and the security state limited the authenticity of the answers I could get a little bit because of the level of distrust. But, you know, other places, especially the middle...
Well, what did they ask you in Congo? Give me a face, without giving a name.
Yeah, it was more the face than the thing. It's just there was a lot of, you know, I had a fixer with me at all times that would kind of – I had my credentials there. And there were plenty of times in the Democratic Republic of Congo where, you know, people would come out of nowhere, security forces, like, what are you doing, you know, around government buildings and things like that. So there's this kind of, you know, tension and instability that's different than walking up to people in kind of Central Park. But just because, you know, people with cameras are kind of distrusted.
Did your mom worry you were going to end up in the photo blog of ISIS on your little trip there?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I mean, how'd you deal with it?
Yeah, the short answer is of course. Well, you know, in Iraq and in Kurdistan in particular, you know, it wasn't a place where, you know, it was a different kind of fear, I guess, because, you know, even though there was a quote unquote threat, the threat was on the other side of a front line of Peshmerga fighters. So, you know, it's not like anywhere somebody could have popped out. So, you know, there was a level of security in Iraq. It kind of unwound while I was there, and I happened to probably get the last plane out of Erbil before Obama started airstrikes or the U.S. started airstrikes. But, you know, while I was there, I there weren't any moments that were really that threatening.
But plenty of moments that we're likely to see from your trip around the world?
Right. You know, my goal was to go into places that have nothing but really bad headlines coming out. And not in all the places I went were this. And not show optimism or not show hope, but just try to show normalcy. In places where journalists are so attracted to extremities, images of people with machine guns, images of angry people chanting death to America, to go there and just approach people as they come. Don't seek out the most extreme images. Don't seek out the angriest and most violent elements of a society to depict, but just the normality, a father walking with his daughter, a grandfather playing with his grandson, and then find out about those people's lives in an effort to maybe show a more distributed view of a culture and a more distributed view of a society.
Brandon Stanton, photographer and creator of the photo blog Humans of New York, just back from a trip around the world. Brandon, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.